in kind of a weird spot. It's in 1 Thessalonians. So if you want to go into the back side of the New Testament there, you can find it. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. All right, if you want to work your way back, Revelation, 1 Thessalonians. I can't do it backwards. What do you think I am? Like a circus show or something? Sometimes, but we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter today, and we're going to do what we talked about last week out of Acts, the second chapter. They said they broke bread in homes, and part of that is they ate, so we knew they were kind of partly Baptist because they had potluck all the time. And then they also, when they talk about breaking bread, they're talking about having communion or Lord's Supper. So we're going to celebrate the body and the blood of Jesus that was poured out for us, that keeps us in commonness together, that brings us together. There's no other reason to be here, right? All right, so that's why we're here. So let's look here in 1 Thessalonians. Before we go into the third chapter, there's this second chapter, and it's really, really cool. I think it's cool because I'm a pastor, and we're talking about Paul and these guys. So a lot of the stuff we're talking about today, we're talking about how I love you guys. Aw, you really have no idea what it's like to be in a pastor's home unless you're like my kid. And it's a different little world. And I grew up in one, so I thought it was semi-normal. But when I think about you, I have a calling, and I have things in the Bible that talk about me. Did you know that when it's all done, after we die on this earth and we're living again with the Lord, we all stand before Him and we have a judgment? Now, one judgment is, do you know Jesus? But the other judgment is a kind of a reward kind of thing. So it's you and all of the things that you did that you thought nobody noticed or nobody saw, and maybe they didn't, but you did for Christ and you did with Christ. Those are all being counted up. And while you're not earning your way to heaven, there is this thing where what you do matters. And so we have this time of reward that happens. Well, for a pastor, he has to stand before the Lord, and he has to give account for how he led Jesus' people. Remember when Peter. You know, Peter, Rob, whatever. Peter was on the beach there with Jesus after he was resurrected, and they had breakfast together. They kind of reconciled their differences, which were significant. Hey, you know, he betrayed him three times, whatever. And so here he is talking to him, and he says, do you love me, Peter? And he says, yeah, I love you. He says, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And so my job or my responsibility is to feed you from the Word, feed you from the bread of life, to feed you, to give you living water, which is all Jesus, but to share the Word with you. We're going to talk about a little bit of what I have to do in a minute and what you need to do. And what we have to do together. So I'm a sheep, but then it says I'm kind of an under-shepherd. So I'm responsible to you. I'm not responsible for you. So don't be going around and thinking, wow, you know, if I smoke this doobie, the pastor, it's like his fault. Don't blame me for your stuff, all right? That's all I could think of at the moment. I'm so sorry. But I am responsible to you. To share, to equip, to teach, and to love you. And so I kind of take that really super seriously. So sometimes late at night, I'm thinking about you. Sometimes I'm awake praying for you. Many times when you're suffering, you need to know I'm not suffering like you're suffering, but I feel it. I feel your pain, as Bill Clinton used to say. I'm from Arkansas, so I can do me a Bill Clinton. But I really do. I really feel it. I really do love you. I really do care about you. And I do feel a lot of these. And I feel sometimes I am tempted by the enemy to feel responsible for the things that are going on in your life, whether they're choices you've made or choices other people have made. I hurt for you, and I hurt with you. And sometimes I'll text you and talk to you about that. Sometimes some of you won't be my friend on Facebook, so I can't do that. I'm praying for you every day. I'm caring about you. I'm loving you. And one of the things it says here at the end of chapter 2, Paul, the situation that's going on here, there's this church in Thessalonica, or some people say it's Thessaloniki, if they want to pronounce it all Greek-y. Like, the people are very stealth there because they're Thessaloniki. It's a really bad joke. But at the end of it, it says, what's going on? He's away from them. So Paul started this church, him and Timothy, Silas, a couple of guys with him, and they started this church, and then they went somewhere else, and they hadn't heard from them. There was no internet, there was no Facebook, there was no phone, there was no telegraph, for crying out loud. There was only letters and people that walked from place to place to get messages to other people. And so they had left them for a while, and they had intended to go back, but they were held up for whatever reason, and they weren't able to go and to be able to be with them, partly because they were, you know, getting thrown in jail and being persecuted and all kinds of fun stuff like that. So here they are, and they're concerned about this church, these Thessalonians, the Thessalonican church. And they're praying for them, they're hoping for them, and they had taught them, but they're like totally like not hearing anything from them. Have you ever been like that, Mom? They don't call, they don't write, they don't text. You text, hey, when are you getting home? No answer. From the kid, from the teenager. When you getting home? The next one. You better call me or you gonna die if you ain't dead. You know, one of those. Text. You start to be very concerned about what's going on. Why aren't they responding? Why am I not hearing from them? Well, the Thessalonians weren't able to do that, and they weren't able to communicate. So he was just in the dark about it. And here it says at the end of chapter 2, but Satan blocked our way. I wanted to go, for what is our hope, our joy, or the crown, talking about rewards, in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? You know what my joy, my crown, my reward, the coolest thing in my life when Jesus comes? You want to know what it is? It's you. Is it not you? I'm going to cry. Hold on. Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Or one version says, you're my pride and joy. You ever seen somebody that has their pride and joy? It's usually a motorcycle or a car, something like that. That's their pride and joy. Or a daddy and his little girl, that's his pride and his joy. Paul felt that way about these churches that he'd started. I feel that way about you. You're my pride and my joy. When I hear you doing well, I just well up with satisfaction and fulfillment. When I hear you're doing poorly, or you're making not the greatest choices, or people are being tough on you, or you're having a really difficult time, or you're having health issues or whatever, you know, I grieve with you, I hurt with you, I hurt for you. You're my pride and joy. And Paul was, it's like, you're my pride and my joy. You're my glory and my joy. When I stand before God and I stand before Jesus and Jesus talks about my rewards, all I want to talk about is, how did I do with your people? How did I do with your sheep? How did I take care of your sheep, Lord? Did I do good? Did I do well? Were they taken care of? Were they loved? Were they equipped? Were they nurtured? It's crazy. Guys, I'm telling you, that's what I think about as your pastor. That's what I am all tied up in knots over. It's you. You're my pride and my joy. And when I stand before Jesus, I'm going to say, look, this is Jim and Michelle. These are my guys, you know? These are my peeps. This is Brian and Michelle. These are my guys. These are my people. I love them. How'd I do? Did I give them what they needed? Did I help them? Did I shepherd them well? That's what I think about. And so here he is, and he's talking through this whole process. And what happened was he was so worried about it, he sent one of the guys that ended up being a pastor in Ephesus, a different church, but he was on mission with Paul and Silas right now. His name is Timothy. Great name. If you're having a kid, great name. By the way, if you're having a kid in this room, please, those that are counting numbers, pregnant people are too, okay, right? So we're just up the numbers a little bit. We don't count the dogs that walk by. We're honest and integrity, but full of integrity. But so watch this. When I could stand it no longer, this is chapter 3. When I could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker. So they sent Timothy. And what he found out, he was concerned that the persecution that the that this church was experiencing would make them fall away or make them pull away or, maybe they were dead or they weren't able, or maybe the church had died in the wake of some of these things, and all of his work would have been useless or in vain, he says. But Timothy goes, and he finds them having been persecuted but standing firm and faithful. He finds them in love and unity together. He finds them staying strong. And when Timothy comes back and tells them about what happened, the guys were like super pumped. So, but Timothy has just now come to us, verse 6, from you, and has brought good news about your faith and love. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us, and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Oh. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you're standing firm in the Lord. This guy's like, we are alive now. Now we're living, baby. You're doing well. You're doing great. Now I'm living, baby. I was like, I was just dying, but here we are. You know what it's like after a deployment, right? I've been to those. Oh, and there's smoochies and all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And like, you're like, see it? I'm glad you got home. You hug them, and then you like, y'all, we'll see y'all later. So, the reunion, when you're back together, when you know someone's with you. All right, for now we relive, since you're standing firm in the Lord, how can we thank God enough for you? In return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you. How can I thank you enough, guys? Church by the Fort. How can I thank you enough for bringing me so much joy, so much fulfillment, so many great things in my heart because you're standing firm in the Lord? How can I thank you enough? Thank you, church. Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. You know, sometimes I go to other churches. And I probably shouldn't tell you this, but sometimes I look at other jobs, like on the job board and things, to see what's going on. And so I look, and I will see the ads, and I just end up going, those poor people that are going to go have to pastor those churches, those poor pastors that are going to have to deal with this, because all the stuff, we want this, and we want that, and we want Superman, and we want Captain America, and Captain Jesus, and we want this, and they're all going through all the things that they want from a pastor. Some of them are, in places like, Boondocks, South Dakota. So that's another thing, I don't want to go there. But, I just look through and every once in a while to remind myself of how good I have it, how great it is to be in this place. but then I'll look and I'll see, other people and other pastors, and they're going, people just won't work with me. People just won't follow me. You ever have that problem, Timbo? And I feel really bad. I feel really awful because I used to have that. I mean, I bear the scars, okay? But I'm like, no, my people love me, and I love my people. We ain't perfect, my friend. And we do have our divisions, and we do have our squabbles, and we do get on each other's nerves, and I know I get on yours. But we do love each other, and we care for each other. And I'm just like, man, if I went somewhere else, and God can call me somewhere else someday. I'm not saying he can't, but I'm going to miss you. That's the problem. I'm like, I'll go to other churches, and I'll experience it. I'm like, man, they got cool lights. And we do get some ideas from the, oh, they've got cool music that's going on with this. But I always just want to come back. Why? I love my church. I love you. You know what? And you love me. And we're family. And we're together. And we're on mission together. And that's the big thing, for me, anyway. There are so many places that collect up on Sunday morning, and they're in some kind of, and I hate to be critical, but they're in a holy huddle. They don't reach out to anybody. They're not enthusiastic about Jesus or their church. And they come in, and they complain about who sat in their seat, and all kinds of, and, you know, who's spending money on this and that, and they just gripe and complain all the time. It's a joy suck, I'm telling you, to be in a quote-unquote church like that. It's a major fun sponge. I mean, it's just bad. So we're like, I see that, and I see everything, and I'm like, man, we are blessed. We're blessed with one another. All right, I'm getting all sappy today. That's okay. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other, for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. What brings me from this passage? What brings me joy? What makes me proud? What makes me glory in it? What makes me excited about when I stand before the Lord? You know what it is? When you stand firm in the faith. When you hang in there. Guys, it's tough out there, isn't it? Is it tough out there? It's a little tough. We've got it good. We've got air conditioning and microwaves. We're super blessed and all that. But it's tough out there. And there's some ornery people. I saw a bumper sticker. I was going to the store this morning because we were out of water because I forgot to get it. Anyway, so I went to go grab it, and there was this bumper sticker. It says, I love my dog. It's humans that annoy me. Yeah, and I kind of get that, but I kind of like me some humans too. Because I have humans, I can go to the store. Because I have humans, I can drive a car. I don't know how to make a car. I need other humans for that, right? I don't know how to make a road. I need other humans for that. I know how to speed on it. And the Acres guys know how to give me a ticket. So I can't do it, everything. So I like me some humans. Now, I love me a dog, and people do that. They're like, I want me a man, or I want me a woman who loves me unconditionally, who's a companion to me, who supports me, and no matter what I'm going through, they smile and they just love me through it. You want an Irish setter is what you want. Go get you one. But most of us aren't happy enough with just a dog or you cat. Are you cat people here? Cat people here? Okay. I just thought I'd recognize you once in, a millennium. But, it's that human touch that we need, isn't it? You can't just get Jesus on the lake. People, I worship God on the lake. Yeah, you don't have a church. You don't have people. You don't have Jesus with skin on. You need a people. You need a family. You need somebody that can lock arms with. You need somebody that can lift you up. And you need somebody that you can lift up when they're going through it. You need other people. We need people. And people matter to God. And one of the most important things about this church family that I love is we never forget that. We will cross a Lego of oceans to see one person come to know Jesus. People matter to God. People matter to us. Love God. Love people. Change the world or bust. We love people. And if you're a guest with us today, I'm not encouraging you to run because I really want you to come back and all that kind of stuff. But if you don't want to be loved, you better get the heck out after church and just get on with it. Because you're going to be loved. You're going to be loved. Get in with us at all. You're going to be loved. You may not like the love sometimes. It's like, these people are a little mushy with it. But you're going to be loved. You're going to be prayed for. And when you stand firm and trust in God, guys, every little moment where you trust God, every little moment when you obey God, I don't see it. The rest of the church doesn't see it. God sees it. Jesus sees it. It counts. But not only does it count in heaven, it counts with us. You're standing firm, and it builds us up. It builds each other up. And one thing that you're going to have from me, or that I'm supposed to give you, you're supposed to be encouraged. You're supposed to be encouraged. Now, sometimes we have some tough talks from here to there, right? But for the most part, I'm trying to encourage you. You know, you can go and you can read the Bible yourself instead of listening to some guy yap for half an hour every Sunday. But I want to inspire you. I want to encourage you. I want to make you pushed toward Christ. I want to pull you toward Jesus. Our worship team wants to drag you. If they have to, they would prefer to just hand in hand, but take you to the throne of God to see Jesus. We want you to experience what we have experienced, the touch, the presence, the overwhelming knowledge of who Jesus is. We want to encourage you. So don't miss, because you're going to miss being encouraged. We're here to encourage you. And you are prayed for. Paul here says, we're praying for you. You're prayed for every week. Nelson and Lynn, they take our prayer ministry. And what we do every week, it's on Facebook. You fill out one of these little dealies. Yeah, I see it and I pray for you. But you've got a team of people that are praying for you, that are pulling for you. And they go ask, hey, what happened with this? And we are praying. And we get excited when we see prayers get answered and we see people resolve problems and we see things work out and we see God work miracles in relationships and things. We're excited about it. You're prayed for. You're encouraged. And my big job, you know what my job is? To equip you, to train you, to make everything that we do a way to bring you to God in relationship with Him, and then to equip you to be like Him. You're my sheep. I'm a sheep too, but you're my sheep. I want to pull you along. I want to lead you along. I want to care for you. I want to anoint your head with oil so the bugs don't bite you in the eyeballs. You know, I mean, I'm all about, I want to give you what you need. What you need. Why? Because you're not just a sheep that follows Jesus. You're a daughter of the Son of the King. You're a brother and sister of Jesus Himself. You are a son, daughter of the Most High God of all the universe, and your home and your residence is in heaven. It is not here, and you are an ambassador in this place to show God's glory, to show who He is everywhere you go. And it is my job to give you what you need to do that well, to do that to your best, and to be who God intended you to be. It is my mission in life to do that, to make you everything that God called you to be, and it is my job to make sure that I'm doing it right along with you. Because, you know, if I'm just not following the Lord, you're not going to follow well. You know, the shepherd's gone, or he's not working it well. You know, that's some scattered sheep going on, right? So I'm attentive to that, and I feel guilty, and I'm convicted about, you know, who I am and who I need to become very often. So I'm praying for you. You're encouraged. I want to equip you. And the church here, Timothy comes back, and he tells them what's going on, and he shares with them what happened. And he found them doing a couple of things. One, he found them loving each other. He found them loving other people. He found them in love with one another. Don't get all mushy and weird. This is not a cult, and we're not going to hug you and smooch you, okay? It's not going to be weird. Love, though, is not just some kind of emotion that happens. Love is when we sacrifice for each other, right? Love is when we care for each other and we take our time for one another so that we can be built up. Love is when someone's hurting and we, the body of Christ, just comes to that thing that's in pain right there, and all the little, that's why it's a description, the body, all, we flock, we rally to that one who is hurting. And then when one is celebrating, when one has something great happening, we praise God together, and we glory in it together, and you get to share all of the things that are happening to you. One of the coolest things that, I'm a baseball guy.
Yeah.
Good to see both of us here. And everybody else is like, football's on later. You know, baseball guys, and or football, or any, but you'll see these championships happen. And what's the first thing that some of the guys do? They go, they run to their wives and their kids, don't they? They celebrate with their teammates, and they're jumping around on the mound. And then as the celebration continues, you start to see them go and find their wives, and then they smooch them and all kinds of stuff. And then that's the third time I've said smooch in this sermon, guys. That's a record. They're hugging. They got their kids. They got their kids at the press conferences, you know, the interviews afterwards. Have you noticed this? And then there are other guys that are just, you know, single guys that are like 20 or whatever, and they're like, they're all alone. You kind of feel bad for them. So maybe they're calling their mom or something. But at our greatest moment of celebration, what are we going to do? We want to share it. We want to share it with each other. And he found them loving one another like that. And he also found them holy. Now, this crowd, we talk about holiness. Paul was excited because they were holy. And so this crowd here, I'm like, am I excited about the church's holiness? And that's kind of an awkward conversation because our idea of holiness is we don't cuss, chew, or go with girls who do, that kind of thing, you know? And some of you love Jesus but cuss a little, okay? And so I'm like, but what holiness is talking about is they're set apart. And yeah, don't cuss or don't cut people off. This is why we don't sell bumper stickers or give away bumper stickers here, because you put it on your car and then you cut them off. And those Church by the Fort people. Yeah. We're a little rough around the edges. So we always say it. If you're perfect, don't come here. We'll screw you up. This is a bad place for you. But you are holy. You're holy for two reasons. One is because Jesus says you are. That's the most important reason. You're holy. You're set apart for his purposes. But what I've noticed about you, more than any church I've ever known, is that you understand, and I don't even know if you know how rare and cool this is in even our American church world. A little bit more internationally, but less here. You understand that you are set apart, that you have a purpose, that you are here for a reason, that you are on mission. for and with Jesus. You get that. And most churches don't get that. We're just dragging people along all the time to go on mission, to care about their coworkers, to understand that where they work is a mission field, and all of those things. They have a hard time understanding that. And even though you're not perfect and I'm not perfect and we kind of mess it up, we do understand our position. We understand who we are. And so with that being said, let's work on the cussing and all the other stuff too, okay? But we're set apart for His purposes. And we do this together. Man, I love my church. It's not my church, it's Jesus' church. I love my church. I love you. And Jesus loved all of us first. And that's what brings us into a place together. Just a few moments, we're all going to leave. The church will be gone from this place, unless you hang out for a movie or something. This won't be the church anymore. We'll be scattered, distributed, if you will, all over the place. Where will the church be? The church will be wherever you go. The church will be whatever you do. So wherever you go and whatever you do, tell them, I love my church. Where do you go? We call it Church by the Fort. It could be called anything. We used to be called the Church at Skyline Valley. Remember that? Yeah, way back. It doesn't matter what we call our church, and we gave away the property, but we're in Skyline Valley. But we're a church. We're people. I love my church. Whatever we're called, this is the place. You can call it the church at the movie theater for all we care. It doesn't matter. Who cares what you call it? Don't call it Timbo's church, though. Not my church, Jesus' church. I love my church because you're set apart and you love each other and you have pastors and leaders and deacons who love you and pray for you and serve you and want everything for you. And you're standing firm. You're hanging in there. Now we're not perfect. But we keep after it, and we're persistent. We're consistently persistent. We just keep going, and we fall, and we get back up, and we walk again. That's what I love about you. Stand firm, guys. Stay set apart. Love each other. I don't know if you've noticed, we have some really quirky people. And when I started this church, I had some coaches and some training about how to start a church. And the one thing they said was, whoever you draw will be like you. So, and you are somewhat, but what's cool about it is we're kind of just all, I don't know what we have in common, to be honest, because there are some people that I have no connect. I am not getting on a motorcycle. I'm sorry. Not happening. Yeah, not. Cager. They have a thing. I'm not doing that. And I have the accent, but I'm not really a redneck. We got guys that make their own bullets in this room. You know, it's like, okay, fine. I don't like to fish. Frank likes to fish. I don't like fishing. You know why? Because I never catch anything. So I don't fish. I'm casting. Hey, let's go fishing today. You go fishing, I'll go casting. That's all I'm going to get done. I'll sit there and talk to you, and we can shoot the breeze. But, all that. But Ryan and I like baseball, and that's both of us, so that's really great. So you will find some commonality, but the truth is, guys, we don't have to be alike to have Jesus, His love for us, and our love for one another in common. What's cool about it is, you talk about the church planting world and stuff. I don't even know how to describe it to you, but they plant, and there's this principle called the homogeneous unit principle. Basically, everybody is going to be alike in any given church. We're white, we're black, we're brown. Some of us have hair, some of us have no hair, some of us have beards. We're army, we're not army. We are the most, and I've had people come and say, you have the most diverse and eclectic bunch of people that I've ever met. They're like guest speakers and stuff. Thank you. Thank you. They're just like me. They said, you know, you'd be just, your people would be just like you. So I'm one mixed up dude. That's what it amounts to. And I love it that way. We love it that way. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. The band is going to come, and we're going to take communion together, and we'll pass it out. The cups are in your holders there, so that's for the juice. They're going to pass out the bread to you while we're singing and that kind of thing. We're going to share this together. We're going to share the love of Christ together. That's what brings us together. So if you're a believer in Christ, we invite you to do this with us. You're part of the church. So we invite you to do that. As they sing, you talk to God. You pray to Him. You deal with whatever you need to deal with Him about. And we're going to celebrate together this morning. I'm excited to do that. All right, let me pray for you and with us. Dear Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for being our great God. Jesus, for being our Savior. You brought us together, and we are yours. And we are so blessed, Jesus, by your body that was broken for us. We're so blessed by your blood that was poured out for us, that erases, that covers all our sins, Jesus. And your painful death, your sacrifice for us. And when you rose again from the dead in power over sin, we celebrate who you are in that. And you ascended to heaven. You're at the right hand of the Father. You're with us right now, Lord Jesus. May you be honored today as we receive the symbols of your body, symbols of your blood. We praise you, Jesus, as our Savior, our Lord, forever and ever. Amen.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Hallelujah, praise the one who saved.
disciples. He took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body that's broken for you. Take and eat." And then he took the cup. He lifted it up and he said, "This is my blood that was poured out for you. Do this and remember me." When they had gone, they sang a hymn. And they went out from that place, not knowing what was coming, but what was coming was their forgiveness of sins, and what was coming was a resurrection, and what was coming was the greatest thing that had ever happened to you, to me. Jesus brought us back home. All right. If you're on the right side there, kind of weird right after communion, but we're going to take up an offering as an act of worship. So if you'll pass that popcorn bucket down, we'll take that up. In your cup holders are a couple of things today. This week, we're going to have a group that is coming at their own expense and their love for you from outside Atlanta, Georgia. And they are going to be taking these doorknob hangers and they're going to be hanging them all over the community, different places. They're also going to be doing flyers that promote this movie that we're doing Friday night. So you invite your friends. But we want you to take these door hangers. We want you to pray for your neighbor or somebody that you know. Go to their house. You can also give it to them at work or whatever. And just share. You have a couple of them in there. So you can share those with them. There are more over at the table. I've got a whole box of them. We got like 7,500 of them, guys. You can take all you want, okay? And share those with your neighbors, your friends, people that need to come. And it says, "Imperfect people, welcome." And it's got a bag on his head, so that works. That works for some of you football fans who have a bad team. So, but we don't have a bad team. You can take the bag off. And you can be yourself here, right? Okay. All right. So we invite you to do that. Hey, come out to the movie. We're going to do the movie, the same movie at my house and Colleen, and invite the people from that area as well. And we're going to do How to Train Your Dragon 2 or 3? 2 or 3. So if you're... All right, you got to do it by voice. We don't hand. I can't see you anyway. I see shadows. All right, How to Train Your Dragon 2. Yeah, let's hear you. How to Train Your Dragon 2. Go.
Yeah. Yeah.
How to Train Your Dragon 3.
Yeah.
3. Yeah, you can watch 3. All right. I do love you. I'm honored to be your pastor. God bless you big time. Go give them heaven. 3.